And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 654. Team previews are done. We're back to multiple get you ready for 2024 fantasy baseball episodes of Benched with Bubba along the way. And we've kind of been teasing this one every time this gentleman's been on the show with me. And it's happening now because Yahoo Fantasy Sports, they released their platform for 2024 about a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago maybe. But they also dropped in their higher contest that people might not know about. They actually have stuff. You don't have to have a bunch of friends to go play Yahoo, basically, is what I'm trying to say. You can sign up just like you do at other platforms that we love to talk about. And we'll say their names on the show. I'm just being sarcastic now. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what differentiates the formats, different ways to attack the formats, and much, much more. In order to do so, as a friend of mine, a friend of the show, you can find his work over at Sport Ethos this season. And you can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. This man has crushed NFBC and Yahoo, and he started out at Yahoo like most of us. So let's talk about today. How are we doing, Mr. Ben Tidd?
Bubba, I am doing great. Thanks again for having me on. And yeah, like you mentioned, this was a listener's recommendation way back when. It was a while ago, and so I wrote the outline that I sent you, I think, back in like November. That's how long ago it was. And
I'm glad you did, though.
Yeah, I mean, I want to make sure I got it all out on paper for why it was so fresh in my mind. But yeah, I'm glad to do this finally, and hopefully it's helpful for listeners. I think it'll be a good switch up from the typical NFBC content that we talk about.
Yeah, for sure. And like we always say, we love the platform in NFBC. We're going to keep, like, we're in a DC together right now. We're not going to stop playing at NFBC. Pretty much everybody can admit their ADP is the best you can find. Like, there's a lot of these things. That's why most podcasts are focused around NFBC. But one thing we've always talked about on Mentioned Bubba, I'll even say we do it on Bubba the Bloom and other shows. We are here for more of the common folk is the way I look at it. And most people play Yahoo. That's just the reality of it. There's been tons of polls on that. But I also want to mention in the intro, I know you do it. I know Dave McDonald has talked about it and other guys. You can sign up for public leagues on Yahoo that pay big money just like NFBC. So it just depends on what platform you want, how you want to attack things, so on and so forth. So this episode, we'll kind of focus on the formats of Yahoo, because things do differentiate a little bit, the daily format, all these different things. We'll talk about all of that. But first, before we get into there, a little bit of news, not a ton. Spring training is basically kicking off. A lot of pitchers, some catchers are reported, some other position players. I think by the time most people listen to this, every team should be out there pretty much by then, which is going to be great. And we're going to start seeing a lot more signings. We got one on Tuesday or Monday night, depending on when you went through it. We'll get to Jorge Soler in a minute. But now that teams can I read the statement, it made a lot of sense. First off, Boris sucks. This is what Boris does yearly. He drains every last minute to get every last penny he can. This is what he does. You can predict these five guys or so we're going to come to the end. This is just normal. But second, it brings more teams into play here, because once spring training opens, you can put players on the 60-day IL, which opens 40-man roster spots. That is what could get spring training also going in a certain direction for certain teams. We'll see. Who knows? But let's start with some minor bits of news here. Carlos Santana, albeit boring to some, Ben, I'll admit it, boring to some, but Carlos Santana signs with the Minnesota Twins. Maybe nothing, maybe something. At worst, he's got a 440 ADP in DCs. Any interest on the old Carlos Santana?
Well, you mentioned right there the DCs. That's where I'm interested. Definitely not for a Yahoo league. Yeah, so it's kind of a little upset, because in one of my draft champions, I took Willy Castro, hoping he would get more full-time plate appearances. But in this kind of muddies that, because Santana or Kirilloff will be like the first base in the DH. And then that means Julian will probably play second most of the time. But with Santana, who knows? He's almost 38, and he very well could get injured. Or, I mean, some of the notes I've seen said that he may not be guaranteed full-time play appearances anyway. And also with the Twins, they have so many injury-prone players as it is, so something will happen eventually, and he'll probably be starting for a period of time. And yeah, I mean, he's projected to start on a roster resource. Our buddy Curlin does not have him in the starting lineup right now. He has him as a part-time player. I hope Mike's right, but we'll see. I mean, yeah, he's not an exciting pick at all. I had him once in a DC last year, and I end up playing him all the time. Sometimes it happens. And I mean, he's a year older now. Sure, if you need a first baseman, I guess, at that point in the draft, who will get relatively regular playing time, I could see taking him.
Yeah, he's strictly draft and hold formats, late rounds, because as much as we hate to say it, Kirilloff has not proven to stay healthy. So there's probably a stretch of time this year where Santana will play, and that will come into play on those deeper, especially 15-team formats, most definitely. This one was an interesting one. Dealing DePoto got going with a little Mariners White Sox action here. I liked it for both teams, honestly. The White Sox added young depth. Mariners added a legit bullpen arm, which they gave up one too, but we can talk about that in a minute. The Mariners got Gregory DeSantis for Prelander Baroa, Zach Deloach, and a draft pick from the Mariners. So we'll start with DeSantis side of things. Many were drafting him as the closer in Chicago. And there was never really a rumor that he was going to get traded, but it just shows you everything's for sale in Chicago, unless your name's probably Lou Bob. So you got that going for him. And when it comes to Santos now, which makes it interesting, Ben, is like over the last 19 drafts, his ADP is 401, but he's gone as low as 618. I'm pretty sure that's after the trade. The ADP just plummeted for Gregory Santos. How are we feeling about that? Because it wasn't long ago that many people were taking chances on like Matt Brash in that bullpen to go behind Andrés Muñoz. Now you got Santos there, who's actually a pretty young, solid arm as well.
Yeah, this definitely hurts fantasy, I think. A decent amount. I mean, I don't know. It depends on how excited you would be to draft Gregory Santos. But for me, it takes one closer off the board because who's going to replace him now in Chicago? Like, it's a team where you don't really want to chase saves. But like we saw with the A's last year and
Trevor May.
Who was it? Tyler, whoever Trevor they had. Yeah, Trevor May, he got 15 saves in a relatively small period of time. And, I mean, that could have happened with Santos. And I had him in the main event last year. I would have liked to not have to use him in the main event, but he was good. Like he throws hard. He had relatively good numbers last year. But yeah, I think it'll take an injury or two for him to get relevant for fantasy. Like you mentioned, Brash, I'm sure it would get the closer chance if something happened to Muñoz before Santos would. And yeah, and then the guy you're alluding to, I'll name him now if you don't mind, Prelander Baroa. He's like the hot commodity back for the White Sox. And I looked up his numbers real quick before we recorded, and he had pretty good minor league numbers. He was a starter at one point, but he's kind of small, so I could see why they moved him to the bullpen. As long as he stays there, I imagine that's probably where they want him. I haven't heard what the plans are for the White Sox, but I think maybe late in a DC, you could take a stab. But I've also heard people say, too, and I agree, that because of how arbitration works in the White Sox, the way they are, they probably don't want to boost his value up any more than they need to. So, saying on top of them being bad, it's probably not the best stat, but it's maybe if you want to get a little crazy.
Yeah, I love Prelander Baroa. I actually had a lot of late shares of him in DCs before this trade just because I like the strikeout upside. If he could work on a control, his whip would be a lot better. There's a lot to like there. Corbin Young got me turned on to him when we did the Mariners preview 2 years ago. Mentioned him again this past year, but Baroa's got this ridiculous talent. It's just more of a control issue with him, super young. That's why I think it's a fun move for the White Sox. He's young. He's affordable. You see what you get there. I lean towards John Brebbia getting the ball for now. He was actually pretty decent with the Giants, either in a late inning role, an open. Like he could do a little bit of everything with the Giants, which was fun. And when the White Sox actually signed him to a deal, it surprised me. But maybe they kind of saw like, hey, we're going to try to steal Santos thing, and we'll use Brebbia to get a few saves and maybe trade him as well. And this is kind of what the White Sox are trade and get quantity back type thing and start rebuilding the system. So I think Brebbia gets the shot out the gate. ADP's 530 over the last couple of weeks. We'll see if it's worth anything in the end. But Baroa is very, very intriguing just because of the talent we talked about. And if you look at Prelander's ADP, it's 625, as high as 504 over the last few weeks. So he's climbing up the ADPs as well. So that could be fun also. Zach Deloach is a prospect that I don't think we'll see this year, but someone to keep an eye on. People are actually pretty high on him. So I got nothing on him unless you do. I'm not a prospect guy.
No, I never heard of him before.
Gotcha. There you go. Oakland A's acquired Ross Stripling from the Giants for prospect Jonah Cox. Ross Stripling is actually, they already said, going to have a major role in the rotation because that's the A's rotation. If people want to take a chance because they really need innings, go for it. I'm just not doing that.
Yeah, you're probably a little biased because he was on the Giants. And So he I remember when I was
really good a few years ago in Toronto, too. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, he was he's one of the big free agent names at one point because he was pitching pretty well. So I remember when I was doing my initial starting pitching rankings that he actually looked, I was surprised at how good his underlying numbers looked. So he had a low walk rate last year, only 4% roughly. His Sierra was 4.13, which where he's going isn't that bad. And his xFIP was 3.98. The swing strike rate wasn't that good, 10.3, but it suggested he probably could get a little more Ks than what he was getting. But then like his xERA was 5.44. So I think he was either unlucky or lucky with the homers. So then I saw that. I'm like, okay, maybe that's why he's going so late. And he's like a DC dart. If you just need some more stable innings, and he'll probably get traded at some point too. So who knows if he'll end up if we'll say as a starter all year, or he'll move back to the bullpen wherever he goes. But yeah, kind of like Santana, it's not the most exciting pick, but it could be useful at some point.
Yeah, like in the DC, there's always useful uses for these guys. It's just never fun or sexy or anything like that. But I don't fault you there. I guess I am kind of biased. Just like, God, he's so bad. So bad with the Giants.
I can't blame you.
Nick Gordon. Everyone loved Nick Gordon. Breakout Nick Gordon the last couple years. Kept getting hurt. Never happened. He gets traded to Miami now. It seems like the Twins and the Marlins have like this thing going every offseason now. We're back to this trading system. Got traded for a reliever, I believe, Steven Okert. Nick Gordon, though, this is one of the weird ones. Like, certain reports are like, oh, he's going to go and play shortstop, even though they have John Birdie. Because you're not going to get rid of Luis Arraez or anything like that. And so many layers to it. I know Kerwin actually wrote about it, I believe, about different guys that, like Xavier Edwards, could be getting the short stick on this one, so on and so forth. What's your thoughts on this with Nick Gordon? Because, like, when I started out, he's not that far removed from being this guy we all wanted in fantasy. Now he's getting the lease on life, but it's also kind of blocking other people. So what's your thoughts here?
Right. I think he was a pre-300 pick last year in the main events. Yeah, he was like, it was one of those players that people would reach on just because he was the hot name, like you mentioned. Yeah, so I have roster resource pulled up. They have him on the bench, but you mentioned Mike. He has Gordon in the starting lineup in right field. And the difference between the two is Avisail Garcia. So roster resource says Garcia. Yeah,
real quick. Kurland has been anti-Avisail all offseason. So we'll see how that plays out.
Oh, yeah. I remember listening to your Marlins interview with Mike, and I was like, wow, he really hates him.
He hates him.
Which I can get why, because he has that walkier thing where he goes off and then he gets his contract and he's terrible. I think I've heard people say that before. I mean, I think it's kind of true. That's what it seems like, at least. But so I could see Gordon playing. I wish they didn't do this, because I kind of would hope to see Xavier Edwards getting a little more consistent playing time. I don't know. Like, Gordon's had problems staying healthy. He's getting kind of old now, and I don't think the upside is really there anymore. But I don't know. I wouldn't go after Nick in a fab league. But if you're still drafting a DC and you need someone who may have a couple position eligibility, I don't know what he's eligible for. He's right
outfield
now.
Outfield only now. I just pulled him up. Outfield only, which kind of puts a damper on it as well.
Yeah, so he'll probably just keep that. I don't know if he'll play the infield. Because there's speculation that they should sign someone to replace Birdie, which I hope they don't. I drafted Birdie so far. On the same team, I have Birdie and Xavier Edwards. So I was banking on one of them filling that lineup position.
Yeah,
stays that way.
I was having definitely some shares of Xavier Edwards early in draft season, and I'm not happy when I saw that. I was like, oh, come on, man. Really? Are we really doing this? So hopefully it's outfielded, like you said, and Xavier and Birdie can still do their thing. That'd be great. We'll see. It is the Marlins, after all. A couple more here. Spencer Turnbull signed with the Phillies, a cheap deal. A couple years now, he missed 2022 with the injury, the Tommy John surgery and everything. Came back in 2023, threw 31 innings, made 7 starts. Not great stuff, but I guess more than anything, it's good to see him out there. He's probably like the sixth man for now in Philadelphia. So is there any interest there for you? Or is it kind of like, yeah, whatever?
Yeah, I just hope he doesn't take Christopher Sanchez's spot.
That would be horrible. Horrible.
Right, yeah. And I remember adding Turnbull last year when he came back. And he ended up being this terrible last year. And he's 31 now. So, I agree with your take that he's the sixth starter and long man out of the bullpen. I wouldn't, even in a DC, I don't think I would target Turnbull.
Yep. And again, they're still rumored to be trying to trade Taiwan Walker to get like Jomo. Like, they're still moving pieces right now. So don't get too excited on this one just yet. Now, I'm excited about this one because the Giants actually have a player now that can hit over 30 home runs and no one would be surprised anymore. This is like a legit thing and didn't cost them that much. That's what was crazy. The Giants signed Jorge Soler to a 3-year deal. He's going to primarily DH, hit fourth every day. And I think it was Matt Thompson, or I can't remember who it was now, that tweeted me saying, What's it going to feel like? Oh, no, his name was Big John Legeza. What's it going to feel like when the Giants platoon him? I said, if for some reason he doesn't play at least 150 games in the outfield and DH, like basically it's going to be a riot. I guess this is going to be the end of the line type stuff. So I'm a fan of Soler, and people will say, before I let you have your throw in here, but it is a Giant, so I'm going to run with this. People say, oh, the ballpark, this. Well, first off, have you seen Jorge Soler? Ballparks don't matter. Someone did an overlay of all of Soler's home runs, all of them since 2019, all of them cleared the fence in SF very easily. None of them were like even questionable, like given the atmosphere changes things. I understand all that, but none of it changed. Like the dude's a monster. And that's why I said 30 home runs, not 40 home runs. I was taking it down a little bit, but you can tell a little excited over here because now we might actually have offense once in a while, which is fun to see. What's your thoughts on Soler though? ADP is 160-ish.
I love that ADP for him. I haven't taken him yet, but I definitely be open to. And with Soler too, he played in Kansas City. He played in Miami, so he's tackled the poor ballpark story, whatever you want to call it. Like he's shown that he doesn't matter where he plays, he'll hit bombs no matter where he's at. And the only question is his average. He did well in that regard last year. I don't have it up now, but I think he's above 250. The projection on Roster Resource, I don't know which one it is, but it's for 238, and that's just being a conservative, I think. And the way how hard he hits it, he could definitely combat that strikeout rate that he has and kind of hit what he did last year. And like with all the signings we're going to see as, like, I forget if we were on air when you mentioned Boris, but as these guys sign, it's just going to – it's not going to affect them, really. It's going to affect who they're kicking out of the lineup, and that kind of happened here. I think Ramos was – it was either Matos or Ramos. They're both, like, out of the picture now. J.D. Davis is on the bench, according to Roster Resource, and Wilmer Flores is in the air now with his playing time. And so they have a lot of those mid-bats, and but Soler is going to bat fourth all the time. I if they platoon him, there's something wrong.
Oh, and, dude, I swear to God. Like, I've been a lifelong Giants fan. It's going to take a lot for me to never work for the Giants, but we will have issues if they – like, you just paid this man, and you're going to platoon him. Big issues on this one because I think he could hit more home runs left-handed than probably anybody on this team, let alone right-handed. So let's not do this. You mentioned J.D. Davis, just doesn't really have a lot to do with this, but like he's on the trading block apparently. Like they want to play Wilmer Flores a lot because he actually proved he could hit again. Like he's and J.D. Davis is fine, but kind of proved who he was last year. He's good. He's probably more of a platoon bat, not a real full-time bat. So it almost feels like with some of the moves they're trying to make is they're trying to get out of the whole look. It's the Giants. They platoon everybody game, which I'm a fan of. Let's do that. Let's get back to putting a real team on the field. But we'll see. I'm just the Soler thing. I know it sounds so minuscule, but the way the Giants last two off seasons have gone, very excited. Very excited that they actually did something of relevance. And someone put a tweet out on Tuesday that made me really giddy. It said, Jung Ho Lee singles and gets on base just to be driven in by Jorge Soler, two-run home run. That'll be a quote that'll put food on people's plates every night. I'm like, yes, please do it. Please do it. Just because you could see that happening like 15, 20 times this year. Just those two guys alone. And I'm like, God, it's beautiful.
It'll help Tyra too.
Yeah, Tyra, man, hitting second there, getting in front of Soler. Go do your thing, kid. Like, yeah, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. Giants might actually put up like 3.5 runs a game. It'll be awesome. All right. That's about it on the fantasy front. We'll get some more of the player news front part of it. We'll hopefully have some more news by the next episode because a lot of big names still out there. I think I saw somewhere like 9 legit players are still out there, let alone everybody else, obviously. So we'll see how that pans out. But let's talk Yahoo Fantasy Baseball. And I'll give you the floor here to kind of give us the intro to this. But I know it dropped a few weeks ago. So you could draft on Yahoo. They have I remember doing mock drafts on there when I first started out. It's the first platform I ever played on. So on and so forth. You just go down the list about Yahoo. But like I said, also, there's still a lot of people playing there, and there's still a lot more I think that people don't know about on Yahoo. So Ben, you still play on Yahoo. So why don't you open us up on this one? What's your backstory to Yahoo Sports?
Yeah. So I started on Yahoo back in 2006. It was when I decided to start getting into fantasy sports. I played basketball, football, and baseball on Yahoo and started out like leagues with my friends in high school. And Then we started becoming like the commissioner because they have that option. You can have your own private leagues. And I'm still a commissioner for my home league right now. It's a keeper league. And it's head-to-head categories. I think it's – so since we started having keepers, it's I think it's like our 14th year doing it, 13th or 14th. And I'm not the – I'm 32, so it's pretty good chunk that it's been going for. And, so looking at the outline here, so it's mostly – The standard leagues are 12 teams. So you mentioned the public ones. If you're going to play on Yahoo, you're going to play in a 12 teamer. But like with if you do a private league where you're the commissioner or someone you know is, you could do anywhere from 4 to like 20 team leagues. It's kind of crazy. And that's where you get the weird percentages, I think, when people discuss rostership percentage on Yahoo and whatnot. And so you could do the free leagues if you're just trying to get into fantasy baseball. That's what I started out with, of course. I mean, in high school, I'm not paying for a league. But they can manage your money too, which, I mean, if you don't trust who you're playing with, I guess like you find a league on a message board, sure, it makes sense to do it that way. But if you're with friends, I don't see why you would do that. So going to some of the formats, I play Roto and head-to-head categories. I just keep two leagues on there. I do one of those public leagues you mentioned. They used to be called pro leagues, and I think they changed them to public prize leagues. That's the name of them now. Those are either Roto or head-to-head categories. But the other options are you could do head-to-head points. You could do head-to-head categories where you win each category and you get a win or a loss. Or you can just do one win, kind of like the option with fantasy football. Yeah. And then I was looking today, and there's also an option that looks like you could do most season-long points. So if you want to do a points league that's not head-to-head, kind of like a Roto style, you could do that as well. And they're primarily snake drafts, I think. But they do offer auctions. I've never done an auction on Yahoo. And kind of goes back to me wanting to do auctions for the first time this year on NFBC, but the option is there. And I think that's only for like a private league where you're setting it up with your friends. And you can also do offline leagues. So one of my football leagues I've been in recently, we used to meet in person, and lately it's been online, but they allow you to draft offline and then you can import it, which I would not want to do as a commissioner, but yeah, it's an option.
Yeah. I remember my home league that we've been doing for almost 18 years now, I think, for football. It's on CBS, and the commission inserts it every day after the draft. It's like, rough go on that one, but it's fun to draft in person. So it's cool that Yahoo has that option, because not all places have those options, of course. A few things here, which is fun, because I think, you know, in NFBC, we always say 12 and 15 teams. A lot of people think 15 because the main event. Like, I always say how I love 12s because it keeps it dicey. The primary for Yahoo's 12s, you hear a lot of 10s. Like, and you mentioned, people go as low as 4. The roster rates is always entertaining, because most of my waiver wire fab articles that I write involve Yahoo roster rates. That's because kind of a universal thing. But everyone goes, how is that guy only like 35% rostered? And it's like, well, because there's like 18 leagues that aren't rostering them. Like, there's a lot of that going on in Yahoo. You can't differentiate it like you can on the NFBC ADP, going, I want just the OCs, or I want just, like, you can't really do that. That's not a luxury. So you do get that difference in Yahoo, but it also kind of shows that everyone can the ability to have the anywhere from 4 to 20 or whatever. You can play and have as much fun as you want and build the best all-star team on the face of the planet, or you can go as challenging as you want. Like, I remember back in the day, I found this on a forum for free. It was a 20 team, 2-player keeper, whatever league. And it was wild. It was just insanely wild, and kind of got you ready for DCs now I think about it. But Yahoo's got so many options, very, very user friendly format, which I like as well. I've always found it out of the quote unquote main ones, between CBS, ESPN, Fantrax, Yahoo. Those are the main ones to me before NFBC came around, for me at least. Yahoo was always the easiest app, easiest interface online. Just felt like the kind of go-to in those regards. When you're talking formats here, you said Roto, head-to-head categories, head-to-head. Like, I love, like, for football, this is why head-to-head is so big, I think, on these other platforms, not on NFBC. Obviously, most people that came from football played head-to-head. So it's like an easy transition to baseball. Like, the whole Roto concept in football is just insanity at times if you're trying to think about breaking that down. But one thing I do like is the idea of, like, you could have the head-to-head, like you mentioned, say it's 5x5 categories, just like Roto, but depends on wins, loss, you get 1 point. I like the ideas, if there's 10 points up for grabs, you can have a 7-3 week, or you can have whatever. So then I think it kind of evens out as the season goes on, it feels like, to me. I don't know. But out of these different point structures, head-to-head structures and whatnot, which ones do you prefer, especially like say someone's just, you know, wanting to maybe, you know, they got their home league, but they want to try something different or spice it up. Like what's the kind of one that you like that is a little different than the norm, I guess, the NFPC per se?
I would go with head-to-head categories, and the way, so my home league is you can go like 7-3, like you said. I'm not a fan of points for baseball. I think it, well, it depends on how dedicated you want to be to it. I prefer the little bit more challenge. And I think when you introduce the categories, you have to balance a lot more. And so that makes it a little more challenging to me. But if you just want to get into it from football, like you mentioned, I could see why you would do head-to-head points. It's familiar. It's the same concept. But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk it down because I know people like it. It's just my opinion. But, yeah, so I prefer anything category related, and I would definitely go with the multiple wins or losses each week if I wasn't going to do roto.
Well, and to your point, I guess to explain it more, because definitely you weren't talking down to them, but if it's like head-to-head just points, you don't really have to be as, I guess, strategic in drafting specific statistics throughout your draft. Like, you don't have to worry about missing out on a closer run, or you don't have to miss out on this or that because you just loaded up on this pitching staff instead. And it's fun, it's cool, but it's a different way of playing the game, which is, again, that's what you want. Cool, but it's just different strategy involved. So, like, even on the waiver wire, now when, you know, the next best closer becomes available, depending on your point structure, might not mean a darn thing. But if it's a league where you need saves and you lost a guy or something, now that becomes interesting. That could be something you want. And that's just one example. Obviously, many other ways to break it down. That's kind of how I interpret it. Tell me if I'm wrong, but that's kind of the way I say like, points is fun. It can be more of a just go get your guys, go have a blast. I know I've seen different structures, Ben's, and we'll talk like roster kind of lead into that here. Some places it's like, you know, get 4 infielders, 4 outfielders, 2 utilities, 8 pitchers, whatever. You keep it simple. You can get detailed. What do you usually see on like the standard Yahoo roster formats, and what have you kind of maybe played with different ways, different types of formats that maybe we might not be used to?
Sure. So this is, so if you're listening and you've never played Yahoo, this might be kind of like a shell shock for you if you're used to NFBC, because it's quite, because you talk about 12 teams on NFBC, you haven't seen 12 teams on Yahoo if you're unfamiliar with it. So the standard is 23-man rosters, which on NFBC, that's what you're starting. So yeah. The entire roster on Yahoo is what you're starting at NFBC, and your typical roto lineup from other sites that like Tout Wars, like whatever they apply on that, what they use, those industry leagues, they're starting 23 players and we're rostering 23 players. I think after the pandemic, they expanded the IL to 4. So that was good. It used to just be 1 or 2, I think. But once the pandemic came around, they expanded it, and I'm glad they kept it. And so we were talking about points and roto. So all their leagues are based on the head-to-head point style lineup. So there's 1 catcher, 1 of each infield position, 3 outfielders and 2 utilities. So you're starting 10 hitters. And then there's 8 starting pitching positions, not starters, but there's 2 starters, 2 relievers, and then you have 4 pitchers of any starter or reliever you can choose. And then that leaves with 5 bench spots. And when you add that all up together, that's only 276 total players rostered. So it's like 100 fewer than an NFBC 12-team league. So it's like you're cutting so much of the fat off when you play on Yahoo. And this is what I went from to go to 15-team leagues on NFBC. It was crazy doing that jump.
I was shell-shocked.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And yeah, so that's how the rosters differ. But like you can customize it, like if you want to have your own home league on there. So I added a 4th outfielder for my league. I added the middle infield and corner infield spots just to expand the player pool. And we have the rosters maxed out. The most you could have is 30. And that's including like NA spots for prospects. We like doing that because it's a keeper league. And then we have, I think we have 3 ILs instead to make more room for the bench and stuff. So if you're doing a private league, you can do a lot of customization. I don't know if it's as good as Fantrax because of some of the categories and stuff. They haven't changed in a long time, but in terms of rosters, it's pretty flexible.
Yeah, that's one thing I remember is you can pretty much do whatever you want. I know I still play a lot of fantasy football on Yahoo, and we've adjusted, like even since COVID, like you mentioned, you adjust the IL spaces. You could adjust a lot of these things, like you're saying. And it's a keeper league I have in football. Maybe yours is similar. You could already have it programmed in basically like, hey, after – pick so-and-so, you can, like, ours is after round, like, 8, now they're keeper eligible, and you get to keep him at that round for the next 2 years. And like, it already has all that pretty much saved in the system for you, which is pretty nice. So there's a lot of customization, as you're saying, that you can do on Yahoo, and it's pretty easy overall. So it's kind of build what you want. Go have fun type thing. I do like, I didn't even mention earlier, I do like the league safe idea early on. If you don't want to handle the money, or you don't trust who's handling the money or whatever, that's simple as well. But back to these rosters and whatnot, you mentioned how you, the one you like, the standard one, like you said, always makes me laugh. Literally just infield, three outfielders, utils, like just so like old school. And it's just mind blowing to think. Another reason that the roster rate numbers are so low when we start talking about things, especially like free agency, right? About that, there's a reason they don't roster most players that we roster, and even 12 teams, let alone 15 team formats in the NFBC. All right, so now when we're talking about these rosters, is there anything like you have down here, the Kent cut list? And that's always been one that always makes me laugh when it comes to like football. You're sitting there going, I'd like to get rid of this guy, and you can't cut them. So what are you, what part of that exists on Yahoo, I guess?
Yeah, so the can't cut list, I know it's a debate in the fantasy world, but we never really hear about it anymore. I think probably Yahoo's the only place that has it. I don't play on ESPN. They used to have one when I used to play football there, I think. But yeah, it's usually restricted to like the top 2 to 3 rounds worth of players. So like the 20th ranked player to like the 30th. And rankings are big on Yahoo. That's another piece that was I had to adjust to going to NFBC. So Yahoo has their own rankings in the player pages, and then they show you the rankings of the performance as well based on how they evaluate the players. And so that's another big difference. And also, like, you'll hear in terms of having like a legal roster on NFBC, that's not a thing in Yahoo, really. You could leave your lineup blank if you're playing a head-to-head league and you're on Sunday and you want to save your ERA and whip. You could empty out all your starters and have all your empty pitching spots, and it's fine. Or you could play without a catcher if whatever happens. Like, it's a lot, little more of the Wild West, I would say, in terms of that type of stuff. But you can't cut certain players at the same time, so.
Yeah, that is a lot of strategy to it, though, as you could – was taking, and I've had those questions like in Discords and stuff. We've had members go, hey, I'm up, you know, X amount on this. My whip and my ERA is here. I don't know if I can gain anything, but I might be able to lose things. Should I start these guys or just leave them on my bench type thing? Like, just like bench them all. And that's a question, like you said, we don't experience often if you're just playing the NFBC because your pitchers are locked in all week. Your hitters are bi-weekly. Like, once they're in, that's, you're just living with life, and you have to fill it out. Like you said, you can't just leave them blank. Where in the daily part of Yahoo, and let's just talk about that, the daily part. We'll obviously talk a lot of in-season management and whatnot, but like just even in the draft per se, when you're building your team, how does that weekly or the daily format compared to the weekly format, how does that make your draft process differ? Or is it more the just the type of roster, the size of the rosters are different, that's what is more the difference than technically the day-to-day aspect of it?
That's a good question. So if the size of the league affects my draft strategy more, and then the flexibility of the daily affects how I manage the team. So so going to the draft, just for starters, the ADP can be vastly different from how NFBC is. I was looking at it today for the first time, Yahoo's ADP, or the rankings at least. And the ADP on sites will follow the rankings. So like when you get into the draft lobby, it's going to be organized by their rankings, that whether it's, you can sort it by like the expected stats based on your league. So they have the projections in there, or they just have how their staff has their consensus rankings. So you can change it, how that up. You can also import your own rankings. I do that for when I draft. I just copy like my NFBC rankings, and I should be a little more careful about adjusting them for the league. But I just, at that point in the year, I'm like, I'm done with adjusting rankings and I just want to draft. But so we can get into a little more details about what I do, unless you wanted to ask something else about that stuff.
No. Yeah, what do you do when you look? Because I do want to get into eventually, I guess, what the rankings, how they differ. Because I guess it's one thing you mentioned. I hear people talk about, like, you know, ESPNs are always insane, but that's because they're strictly this point system, that's what they do. So obviously, like Tristan Cockcroft, they're the super smart guys, but that's how they rank their stuff. That's what you have. Yahoo's a little closer to your normal roto, but still different enough that you still see different rankings. CBS is different in some regard. It's like they're all different, like you said, based on their rankings. That's how the ADP shows up in the draft room. So I guess my point is, how do you approach that? Because like you said, you're bringing your NFBC rankings into the draft room, but it's very different when it comes to the Yahoo rankings, because that was one of the kind of tongue-in-cheek questions, is how do they come up with these rankings, because they are so different.
Yeah, the one that sticks out to me was last year in my public league I did on Yahoo. I drafted I drafted JTR 33rd overall, because that's where he was kind of going in the NFBC. I'm like, well, and we'll get into the strategy, but you want a good catcher in Yahoo, and we'll get into why. But I could have waited like two rounds, I think, but because of that's how I imported my rankings, I'm like, well, he's there, I might as well just take him. But it ended up not being worth it, just because, well, he also had a down year. But I definitely could have waited and played the ADP a little bit more. But yeah, so like one thing I've noticed historically is how they treat closers. So in NFBC, closers are usually taken much higher than they are in Yahoo. For example, last year, where is it? That's the wrong draft. I took Felix Bautista 81st overall in my 12 team league. His ADP was probably like 50, 56. Yeah. And that was even with the injury. So I got him 30 picks later, probably, than I would have in the NFBC. So that's just an example of how they get discounted. That's just one example of the positions.
I guess this might have been a question for later, but you mentioned the saves aspect, maybe discounting closers with only three outfielders, like just basically the size of the rosters per se. Do you see any specific stats or positions get treated differently compared to just closers? Like you mentioned closers, like offensively, I guess. Do you notice any stats or positions that get treated much differently in that kind of setup?
I can't recall, but for me personally, I make sure to get like, so I would draft Ellie De La Cruz in the Yahoo League because of the power and the speed. So I mentioned the 10 starting hitter spots. So in NFBC, you have 14. So you have to get all your stats into 10 spots. And so if you have a catcher, you're probably not getting steals unless you have JTR. Your first baseman's probably not. So you have to get all these steals in like 8 spots now. And so you really want those power speed guys as often as you can. And so that's another reason why I tend to go hitter heavy early in Yahoo, because A, you can stream pitches a lot more easily because there's fewer that are rostered, and you could do it daily. So like if you really need to catch up in stats, you could just do it every day. If you're dedicated to it, you can just add a new starter every day and risk getting your AM whip blown up. But you also have to be mindful of the innings caps, which we didn't talk about. There's caps for games played and innings in Yahoo, at least in Roto. So yeah, if you're doing a head-to-head league, I don't play head-to-head baseball publicly, and I think they cap the amount of ads you can make, because they do that in basketball, which I play head-to-head. So that's another factor is the – yeah, so the Roto isn't the same. It's not apples to apples Roto, because I remember I first listened to you and Toby back in the day. Toby was talking about NFBC, and then I asked him on Twitter. I go, so what's your innings cap? Because something he tweeted didn't like line up with what I was used to. And he goes, what are you talking about? And I tried to explain it to him like in the replies, and it's just eye-opening that it's still Roto, but it's completely different.
So different. And it's like you mentioned, because you said it with basketball. I know football. I usually have at least a couple Yahoo baseball leagues, because it's just like old school friends that are kind of like there for fun, if anything, maybe $25 type thing, just for fun to kind of talk trash for a season. So I haven't focused as much on them, honestly. I'll take that L right out the gate. But I do know that they have like five or six move limits each week, like you said. And I remember like the very first year I was playing these, like actually paying close attention to them and stuff, that the innings thing got me, or the day games played got me, especially at positions. I was actually in a league with the Endless League guys. They have a bunch of listener leagues. They do a different formats on Yahoo and different platforms. I was in the Yahoo one, and I was fighting until the end. It was like that last weekend. I wasn't able to start anybody at first base, like one outfield spot and something else. And I'm like, oh no. Like, oh no, we're like battling. And it basically locks your positions. It just locks them. So you can't. So they're back to the point where you can have unfinished lineups, basically. They make it so you can't even have a full lineup. They tell you, nope, you're done. You've used them. So the benefit of that long-winded way of saying all this, between the minimum or the max moves per week, the innings limits or games played, it does prevent those people that are insane enough to sit there every single day and just constantly play the matchups game, because that'll get you a ton of points. Like, it really will. Like, imagine Phil DeSoe with the ability to make day-to-day moves. That's like insanity, which could take place there. And so a lot of guys will, but it comes to the point where you can only use them. You have to be more like judicious with it instead of just going free willy on it. So again, back to like the Discord that I'm a part of, we'd have people come in there and go, hey, I got seven moves this week. There's these two star guys that are on the wire. Should I be great? Like, you have to like look ahead almost. So it's almost like the fab we do, Ben, with an NPC, but not quite at the same time. So back to this now, how do you utilize that when looking at it? Because like simple as the moves per week, the streaming stuff, multi-position guys, they sound cool, but in the end, if you start using them too much early on, it could actually eat up position options later, if that makes sense, because that's one of the things that got me. So how do you kind of utilize all that with roster construction?
Yeah, so you do the same thing in NFBC, but I always make sure to have two players eligible at every position. And I used to do that to catcher as well, but then I realized it was eating up a valuable roster spot on my bench because you only have five-man rosters, and you need some pitchers on your bench as well. So you're probably rostering two or three bench hitters. But, I mean, if you have enough multi-eligible guys, you could probably get away with two catchers. But that's why I like to draft the top catcher, like Wilson Contreras or William – well, probably Wilson this year too. He's going to DH. William Contreras or Adley, they're super valuable. And even JTR in the past, that's why I took him last year at that price because he's going to play all the time. And then you see that gap in that innings – in the innings cap, you want to maximize all 10 roster positions to get as many stats as possible without going over the limit. So that's why you want to have a catcher who's going to be in there all the time. So someone like Will Smith is probably going to get knocked down more because if he's good enough to roster by himself, but if he plays 120 games, that's 42 games you're leaving on the table for your catcher position. And then, like, so if you have someone like this is another fun quirk, yeah, so it's catcher related. So a couple years ago, when Isaiah kind of Falefa was on the Rangers, he had catcher eligibility in Yahoo, but he's their baseman. Yeah. So I knew going to the draft, I'm like, I'm going to take him as my catcher and just sit in there the entire year. I got 20 steals for my catcher, like a 270 average, 80 runs. It was great. So you can find those quirks in Yahoo because of the eligibility that you always hear people make fun of. But I mean, it makes the game a little different at the same time.
And real quick, we'll go back to this multi-position thing so we can kind of go on a few different tangents on this. Yes. But the catcher one, I think, is very, very important because we just mentioned all these games played. Like, you can have an elite catcher, but, like, outside of the ones you talked about, you're getting maybe 120 games. That's 40 games worth of stats that you just left out in the open. That's a lot of baseball. So, unlike other formats where, like, I'll never carry a bench catcher, it works here in a daily format. Like a bench catcher, I think, is very valuable in that regard. And this is where the concept actually comes into play potentially on the right teams, handcuffing your catcher. Like if you went Sean Murphy and Travis d'Arnaud, you get almost 162 games of the Braves catchers. That is fun. I think it was Suzuki when he was with the Braves, or Suzuki and maybe d'Arnaud or whatever, or something like that. I remember I was purposely trying to get those two in every one of my Yahoo drafts for that exact reason. Other teams have those also. Like you have back in the day, it was a couple other options in Chicago and whatnot. Like they go get Yan Gomes and Miguel Amaya or something like that, like mix and match. Wilson Contreras just totally blanked on his name now that I'm really a big fan of course.
I think it's Ivan Diaz.
Yvonne Herrera. Yeah, stuff like that. That's an option. Or you can just get two catchers. That's fine. Just hope they don't take the same days off. But you're good there. You can at least still maximize things. So the catchers, when I just want to hit on that, that's a really good point, not because I love catchers, but because you do need to realize that 40-plus games is a lot of production when it comes to trying to win the whole darn thing. What other positions, like, because you mentioned the multi-position things. We can even link it to stats if you want. Like, you mentioned you want a lot of power speed guys type stuff. So how do you utilize the multi-position to the max? You said you try to have every guy have some, but how do you utilize it?
Yeah, so if, say I have, like, my second baseman's Tyro and he's second in shortstop, I won't draft a backup shortstop because I could just switch Tyro over to my shortstop position if he's sitting. And then I hopefully have my second baseman come in if he's playing that day. And that's just really exciting. I mean, so like last year I had Otani on my public team and he's utility only, of course. And he's also two players, which is a whole different story. But so, I mean, it kind of knocks down your options. So you definitely would try to go for someone who has that extra eligibility. And I'll target those players too at the end for my bench. Like I'll take a player who's not as good as somebody else just for their eligibility. And I'll probably just cycle that constantly trying to find the next best option. And yeah, so you could really bypass some good players just to make sure that you're covering all your bases. And I look at other teams' rosters sometimes and they aren't nearly as OCD about it as me, and which is fine. I mean, like, they just want the best players, which I understand, but I'm trying to maximize all.
You're trying to win.
Yeah, and then also, too, you could actually go over the caps as well. So, like, if you're talking outfield and utility, so they treat outfield as one position, essentially. So you're allowed 486 outfielder games and 324 utility games. So if you have, say, like 323 on the last day at utility, you could start both utility players and get the extra game. Same thing with the outfield. You could get two extra outfield games if you only have 323 going the last day of the season. And even with innings as well. So if you ended the last day of the year at 1399, I think the cap's 1400 innings, which is a lot. But if you're at 1399, you could have eight starters going and you could get all their innings and strikeouts and wins. And I mean, if they blow up your ratios, they do, but you're going for the quantity at that point.
There's a way to break the system right there at the end. Just load up like crazy and you get all the points instead of just figuring it out. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just something to monitor, because I know that's caught me off guard when it really kicked in. But it is interesting that it is the innings limit, because again, so you got to stream everybody under the sun. But like I was in a Tout Wars, I'm in a different league this year, but it was innings pitched, saves, holds, so it wasn't wins. So in theory, you want a lot of innings pitched, but you can also say, screw it, it's not an overall, I'm going to punt innings pitched, get all the saves and holds, get all the great ratios, and rack up strikeouts with just like, because you know it's weekly lineups, but you can peruse like relievers pretty easily in that kind of format, unlimited moves, that week to week fab. So what they put into play though is a innings minimum. So you can't just, so it's like, it was like 600 or something. So it doesn't sound like much, but if all you're putting out there is relievers, that's a lot, all things said and done. If you start just going through the motions there. So it might've been more than 600. Now I think about it, might be like 1,000 or something. But the premise is there's different regulations to keep the game a little honest, more often than not.
Speaking of pitching, I was gonna say my home league, we have an innings minimum. So it's a daily head-to-head category. So usually people think of head-to-head as like you set your weekly lineup, but it's daily. So we have a daily, we have an innings minimum to meet per week. Yeah, so to make sure that people are setting their lineups and they're not just doing the closer thing.
Yep. I had a similar thing as well, which you could definitely, because even though there's like what, seven pitchers, eight pitcher spots, you got to put a couple starters in there, boys, and you got to hope they go deep if you only put a couple. So it's like, it's a lot of strategy involved in it, which makes it kind of fun because it's totally different than the norm. But speaking of pitchers, since it is kind of a head to head points type thing, give or take, even though it is roto categories, you know, we talk a lot about getting two elite closers, maybe getting one closer and two decent ones. We talk about getting all these, you know, elite pitchers, but then we'll speculate on certain pitchers because they have good ratios or good strikeouts. How do you approach pitching when it comes to Yahoo?
Yeah, so I'm fine waiting. I think last year I started, my first two picks were, my first two starters were Luis Castillo and Julio Urias, who I got in the fifth and the sixth round. And I mean, if Julio had a normal year, it probably would have been fine, but Luis was a great buy at that point. And I'm much more I tend to lean hitting heavy as it is in NFBC a little bit at the top, but I'm even more willing to do so in Yahoo because of how shallow the rosters are and how you can stream. So like a streamer in Yahoo is someone you would probably start every day in NFBC potentially. So you could, it's definitely easier to find those favorable matchups if you're willing to look for them. And so if we want to go into like how I build my team, so in the draft, I want to try to get like one pre-pick 100 closer, so like a top closer, and then my number two before pick 150, so get that like that second tier. And then I want to have three because it's 12 teams, so there's going to be 24 closers if everyone gets two, and then there's six left in theory. I want to be one of the teams that has three, so I can hopefully be at the top of the standings and saves. And if that means having someone who's in a committee as my number three, it's fine. It's still better than nothing. So we mentioned the innings cap. So it's strikeouts as the category, but it's kind of like a K per nine league, because if you have someone like Strider, you're getting so many strikeouts in his innings that he's eating up for you. Whereas someone like Logan Webb, who I like in NFBC, he's going to hurt that goal of hitting that innings cap with the most strikeouts as possible, because he's getting fewer Ks than he's throwing innings probably. So that's another thing to keep in mind. So you can get to the innings cap, but you maybe have 1350 strikeouts where other teams may have 1500 strikeouts and there's nothing you can do about it. So it kind of turns into a K per nine league. Head to head, it's still applied the same way because you're restricted to how many ads you have per week. So you still want higher K pitchers ideally. Because like you can't just stream a bunch of Marco Gonzalez's and hope to get enough Ks as your opponent. You can't do that. And yeah, I'm more likely to be risky. Like Tyler Glass now, for example, I might be much more willing to take in Yahoo because of his K per nine. So it's things like that where you have to delineate in your head what league you're playing on. And if you're new to it, it might get confusing, but after a while it's easier to set aside like one half of your brain. Okay, here's NFBC strategy, here's Yahoo strategy or whatever league you're gonna play on.
Yeah, one major takeaway there I hope people get, there's obviously many throughout this show, like you'll have to go back and listen to it probably because there's a lot of strategy involved in the different formats, but the K to nine thing, that's something that I've had to learn quite a bit in that format. Because yeah, like I love Logan Webb. We've talked about Logan Webb in a lot of shows. There's a lot of pitchers I like, but it's also maybe it's brainwashed me to how I talk about it on other shows. How I'm more focused on I want strikeouts from my guys. Maybe that's just brainwashed into me now. Like if I have to pick between A and B, well, the guy with more strikeouts is probably getting it. That's pretty much where it goes. That should be common sense stuff. But at the same time, the better pitcher, safer pitcher might be B. And it's just kind of in certain aspects in a deep 15, that might be the way to go if you already have strikeouts in line. Where in Yahoo, take a few more chances, work the waiver wire if you have to. Like those are kind of angles to go off of that can keep it interesting because you want, again, just like maximizing at bats, you want to maximize innings. It's that simple of a situation there. Let's do some in-season management stuff here. A lot of people don't like these other formats because waiver wires could be like the Wild West. They could be first come, first serve. What I like to tell people is if you're in a league, you can customize it to whatever you want. So you don't have to have first come, first serve. You can have it at midnight every night in a waiver format, first like priority formats. There's so many ways to do it. So when you're looking at Yahoo, Ben, how do you see it? Because most of us are brainwashed into Fab, Sunday night, 10 Eastern, going through. That's what we got 26 times a year or so. But Yahoo's a little different, at least if you want it to be. You could probably structure it to one night a week if you wanted to. But there's something about the different format that having different roster rates, especially if it's a daily league, you probably need daily roster moves. So how do you look at it there?
Yeah, so between my two leagues or two teams that I usually play, they're different. So my home league is daily whenever you want. Kind of like – so I don't think we mentioned it, but there's actually an industry league on Yahoo, and that's the Friends of Family – Yahoo Friends and Family League. And you'll hear Jeff Erickson and others talk about it on their podcast. It's they have like 16 team leagues. It's crazy. They have like ad limits for the year. It's wild. But there's no waivers unless you drop someone. So I remember like Fred Zinke and Jeff Erickson talking about like how Fred will be like the first one to add a guy. And then
in the Jeff's middle of like, the show on a Tuesday.
Yeah. In the show, they'll add guys and like they'll get upset with each other. It's great. But so that's how my home league is. And I wouldn't even try to change it to the daily Fab because I don't think my friends would want to deal with it. But Yahoo in general, it was always that where it was always you could add whenever you wanted. But then it's actually been a while now. They switched it to the daily Fab, which was a big change for me because I'd never played Fab before until they made that change. But this is the season right now. Right now, I would make claims if I wanted to add somebody for tomorrow. So like, if there's a starter going tomorrow, I would say, do I want to bid A? Because they allow $0 bids in the standard format. It's a $100 budget, so it's a tenth of NFBC. So it makes the bidding different all in itself is the Fab budget. And it's kind of a pain. So NFBC is great for the Fab because of how they set it up. Like with Yahoo, if you want to have conditional ads for a player, you have to do it manually. Like you have to go to the player pool, add this guy, drop this guy, go back to the player pool, add this guy, drop this guy. And then you have to change the value as you're doing it. And then if you have like the same price for all the guys, then you can like edit the order. Like you have to go into a different screen, edit the order. So the Fab's a little more burdensome, but you don't do it all at once, which is what I also like at the same time. So people, you hear like even Toby or others, like, I'll say I cap my Fab leagues on NFBC to four because I don't want to do Sunday Fab for 10 leagues. This one league on Yahoo where it's daily, it's like nothing to me because I don't have to. I only add someone when I need to add someone. So
that's it's really different. It's not as urgent type thing,
right? Yeah, it's as you need it because we have to wait on NFBC till Sunday, and we all have different needs at that point. Yep. But if you're playing on Yahoo, maybe you need a pitcher on Monday, but someone needs a third baseman on Tuesday. That's what's nice about it too. So they're so different. Like, it's not one's better than the other. They each have their own benefits.
Yeah, no, I like that for sure. Like, the Wild West format is how I always played it early on, and that was like so awesome at certain points. So not especially when I first started, no one had a smartphone. So literally it was whoever was by their computer got the pick. And that was really like annoying because, you know, in college, I'm either on campus or, hey, we might be at the bar tonight. Like, I'm not going to be sitting by a computer. Where nowadays you could literally pull, like, again, the Yahoo app's so easy. You can make a roster move on your phone so fast. It's not even funny. Like, you're in and out, and it's at least kind of evens up the playing field in that regard. If you have like a real job and you're not on your phone, well, that makes things complicated still. So like, to me, the easiest like way to do it, because fab every night, I can see how some people say, no, nope, don't want to do it. Okay, whatever, teach their own. I'd at least want it to run every night with, you don't have to do fab, but make it like a priority waiver wire. So it's not first come, first serve, but like put in 8 bids and hopefully you get one of them type things, like waiver requests, I guess. And that way it's not the same one person that sits at home all day doing nothing that gets every single player. That's a little annoying as well. But hey, like you said, you guys done it forever. That's how it works. Everyone has their niche. And I guess as you get older, everyone's got real jobs and stuff. So it's not as annoying as it probably once was back in the day. But yeah, it is kind of cool to have that format, because NFBC, as you mentioned, gets so crazy where it's all week we're thinking about, okay, these two start pitchers next week. Okay, this lineup. Okay, 2 weeks from now we have this. Like, there's so many levels because you get one shot, like you said, to kind of make it happen. Where in Yahoo, the person could have added the guy on Monday night, dropped him again on Tuesday because you just needed him for the one start, and then someone else picks that same guy up later that week and uses him for something. That's kind of a whole like different animal to it as well. So it's fun to have a different, like, I'm not going to go play Yahoo, but at least it's kind of like exciting me to be like, hey, maybe go try something else here. Go see how it works. I have enough leagues, so we're good right now. But what else when you're looking at like trades? We don't get to do trades in an FPC. And like you mentioned, Frezinki, the king of all trades, Tout Wars, Labor, we can do trades. That's always makes draft day even different, because you can kind of load up on something and then people say, oh, I have so many stolen bases, I can't use them all year. Well, now you trade them. That's a beautiful thing to have, like stuff like that. So how do you utilize trades in these formats?
It'll feel a lot easier when you're with your friends, when you have someone's number. True. Otherwise, I mean, I've made trades in the public leagues, but you have to either email them alongside the trade offer. I mean, you can add a note in the trade offer, but who knows if they're actually going to see that. Because I think if you just check on your phone, or if you see the email come through, you may not see the message, and then they may just ignore you altogether. So it can be annoying at times. But this is also the reason why I prefer the categories. I find trading in points league to be almost like not really practical, because you're trading points for points. It's you're kind of either banking on a positional need, or you're trying to say, I think my guy is worse than your guy, you should give me your guy. But at least with categories, there's a lot of more options. Like, you could trade steals for homers, or strikeouts for RBIs, and it can go on and on. But the trading feature is nice. I try to do one or two a year, and it's cool. So in my keeper league, we can trade draft picks. I've had to implement some rules because of some things in the past where you can only trade so many of certain picks. I don't want you to trade your first through five picks for next season and then not play the next year. Then I have to find someone to play that, take that team, and probably give them the discount on the league fee, because their team's going to be not that good probably. But when it's public, it's definitely a challenge. Like, you might get an LOL back, and that's the end of the discussion, if you get anything back, if you're lucky. But some, you might find a manager who's more willing to trade than others. It's kind of luck of the draw, I think.
Trading's tough. Trading's tough, like you said, especially if you don't know the people. I've always admitted I'm a difficult guy to trade with to begin with, because I get annoyed when you come with a trade offer that's not at least even. Like, almost, you almost have to be willing to take a loss in a trade. That's kind of how it works to make it work. If you come in with one of those deals where it's like, look, I'll give you these three things for your stud, that just doesn't work for me. Like, that's, you're not helping me at all. You're making my team worse, because I also have to drop two more people to make that trade. Like, it's just so many things like that. But that's a whole other episode, trade. Like, I did one with Zeke actually a couple years ago, the art of the trade. And there's a lot to it. A lot of it's humility. Just be humble when you go to the trade table, and you get a lot more accomplished in that regard. But yeah, that's a good point you have there on with the friends. And I love the point, like, that's another like points league. It's like, you're just trading points. So why are we trading? Like, what are we doing here? We should be trading for a point of strength to fix a point of weakness. But when it's points to points, it's really no strength to weakness. So what are we doing here? And that's what makes it tricky. So I'm with you 100% on that one. Roster locks. Again, in FPC, we're used to weekly pitching, bi-weekly hitting. How do things go in your daily lineup formats?
Yeah, so you can kind of play the system a little bit in Yahoo. So it's a game lock. So if you have a player, if you have like a 1 o'clock game for someone, that player only locks if they're in your lineup. But if they're on your bench, you can still drop them. But that's if you're in a non-fab setting. Otherwise, you have to wait. But there's been times like on Sunday Night Baseball. Well, I did this more in football, I think, where like you can add the running back of like the Sunday Night Football team. Like if you can drop someone on your bench before they play, but I guess you could do that with like a closer or something or a certain position player. I don't usually do that, but it's a possibility if you have if you don't have to wait for fab the next morning. But yeah, it's, so you can have some extra flexibility that you wouldn't have in the NFBC. It's about as much as you can game the system, but there's some of that you could do if you wanted to.
All right. Any other in-season management? Cause we're going to talk some like in-season, like tracking and all that stuff, but anything roster wise that we need to, that we maybe have missed between drafting differences in season, so on and so forth.
So in the past, when pitchers used to go further into their starts, I would be able to roster someone like Matt Brash because they would ideally give you good ratios and a high K per nine as a middle reliever or a setup guy. But now that starters go like five or six more innings, I've been using that middle reliever spot as a seventh starter. But if you have like workhorse starters that, and you're keeping up with your innings target, so Yahoo does try to give you like a guide for how you're doing in terms of your positional cap, games cap, and your innings cap. It's not reliable, so that's why we're going to go into the in-season management that you talked about. But so you can get a little creative with rostering relief pitchers. There's the SPARP concept, which I know Frank Stanfill, Scott White, Chris Towers always talk about on CBS because it's a little more relevant in points league, but Yahoo has that points league lineup structure. And of course it gets back into their position eligibility where they're a little more lenient with who gets what position. So if you have, say someone like, he just got signed, Anthony Desclafani. So if he's a starter, but he has the RP eligibility, you could put him in your RP spot and you can get extra innings out of that spot. That's more probably for like a head-to-head league, but you can do that too. And I've seen that in Roto, like people like punt saves, and they just have all RP eligible starters in their two RP spots. Or you could, as long as you hit them, if there's an innings.
You gotta watch the innings part. That's the
trick. Yeah, so you could do the other way around. You could have all relievers. I've seen people do that too. Yep. Like they take all the closers, and they still have relievers in their starting pitching spots. And so you could go it either way. I wouldn't do that, but it's a possibility.
Yep. I'm 100% with you on that one. So it's just, I guess the biggest thing before we get into the in-season tracking or stuff is what's really, fun, different, however you want to look at it with this Yahoo is it's a completely different roster build. And that's what's kind of fun about it. And still, you still got to know the players. You still got to know the strengths, the weaknesses of both players, the player pool, the positional pool, the statistical pools, whatever you want to say. But it's a different way to build it, which is pretty fun. And it allows you, if anything, we talk about, like, I play DFS because I can roster guys I can't roster in a regular season, blah, blah, blah. Or let's do auctions so I can do the X, Y, or Z. In Yahoo, just based on the way things work, you might get chances to roster different players you didn't think you were going to roster to begin with. So that's something as well. Now, let's talk about in-season now because we've talked about like in-season, like stats management and whatnot. We've talked about the innings requirements, games played requirements, all these different things. You are much smarter than my caveman brain. We've talked about Brian Slack had his like sheet he uses to monitor the NFBC stuff. Worked pretty well last year, just saying. And we know you've got your methods as well. What do you use for this? Like it's a daily setup with you, and you're trying to maximize everything.
Yeah. So, what I do for NFBC actually was born out of what I started doing for Yahoo. And I ran into the problem that you had where I think one year I exceeded my cap, my games cap or whatever, or I was kind of stuck at the end of the year. I'm like, well, I don't want to do this anymore. It's not fun. And especially like when I have my starter who can't, I can't start who I consider my starter. So, so I have an Excel sheet, file. I have one for hitters, one for pitchers. So I'm pitching. I have all the days of the season going from left to right. And then I have different cells that look at, okay, what's my year to date total? What am I projecting as based on what I've thrown so far? And then, so it has like a, so I also have a fixed target. So it's like 7.6 innings per day, I think, is what you want to average based on the 180 day long season or however long it is. But then I also have it where that might have a moving target. So if I'm like above my innings allowance for that day, assuming 7.6 every day, okay, I might have to be more at like 7 going forward. And then I might step off the gas a little bit. And maybe not stream as much, or I might be a little more careful with starting all my starters, because if I have like my seventh starter who has a bad matchup, okay, and I'm more willing to do that in Yahoo too. Like in NFBC, it's kind of just like your best starters are always out there. In Yahoo, I will sit, like last year I had Marcus Stroman for a while. Like if he's in Colorado, I'm not going to start Marcus Stroman. I'll be willing to make up those innings later in the year. And by tracking it like this, which is probably a little insane, but I'm trying to maximize those innings in those roster spots. I'll do it. I mean, it takes like 2 seconds each day. I wake up in the morning. Okay. I look at yesterday's lineup. Okay. How many innings did I throw for starters? And then the same thing for hitters is a little differently because it's hitters. But when the draft is over, I identify the team that my hitter plays for my starter, quote unquote. So say I took Bryce Harper as my first baseman. I write down the Phillies in the left-hand column, and then I track the team games for each day and then my games. And then I sum it up, and then I do the difference of my games for that position versus the Phillies games. And then I get, okay, maybe I'm tracking one more than the Phillies games that they've played. So I don't want to go to like five over, because then I'm missing out on five Harper games, for an example. And then I just do this every, I update it in the morning every day. And so I can track. So I want a little bit of a buffer, because rainouts happen, guys sit. And the rainouts are also another story too with the double headers, because then you get two for one.
You maximize.
Have to be mindful of that. And then if I drop someone, I'll adjust the team. So say I trade Harper and I move Christian Walker into my first base slot now. So I change it to the Diamondbacks and I adjust to see where they are in the year compared to where I am. So I still want to make sure that I'm maximizing Christian Walker's games now. It might sound a little insane. It probably is, but I'm trying to be as perfect as possible with
the. I get what you're doing. It's a lot, but once you, like, you're smart enough where you have like probably like a formula or something to like make it pretty easy to update as you go. Like you said,
if I showed you, it wouldn't look nearly as bad as it sounds. Probably it's just
I'm picturing it. It makes a ton of sense. Like literally, it's. Total games left. So they have 120 games, but I've already played, and I can only play 150. I'm just making things up. And you've already played 35 at the position. You're like, okay, well, I can't play at least five of those games potentially. But then if things change, as he sits out or something throughout the year, all of a sudden maybe you're five below the remaining games they have, and you can go add someone to make up for first base or whatever. I don't know. That's kind of how I'm visualizing it. Could be totally wrong, but it's keeping you locked in to get as close to that in the number without going over early, but also not falling too far behind. It's like keeping you balanced as the season goes on, something like that.
Right. And then say Harper's sitting on a Monday. It's a low volume day. If you have if you're up like two roster or two games on the Phillies games, and you have someone on your bench that's a first base eligible player, maybe you don't play them. Because you don't want to eat up into those games, even though you're able to start someone there. But on the other side, if you're down two and it's like a Monday or a Thursday where there's usually a lighter schedule, then that's when you're going to plug in your bench guys to make up for those games that you can't really get back with Harper anyway, because those games have already happened. So
makes a ton of sense to me. I guess a couple questions I have, which will go into your stats thing also. And I might have missed it earlier, and I apologize. But like, you try to keep seven starters, three relievers on the pitching side of things. You're tracking your innings. You're doing all these things. You mentioned you might sit certain guys in certain spots, which means you might have to make up with an ad at a different point to get those innings. So I guess to me, how many of those seven starting pitchers are more of a fluid position to add and drop on the waiver wire?
It just depends. Ideally, I would keep all seven all year if I could. That's always the goal. But if I have to stream three of them, then hopefully I'll find someone who can end up being my fifth, set and forget a guy, and that'll happen. But I don't really want to try to put a number on who's always a starter. It depends on who I have.
How much does value count for guys like, say, Ryan Yarbrough, who now isn't a starter, but he's the piggyback, picking up wins, strikeouts, ratios, but not throwing as many innings?
Oh, definitely. So if you have, if you wanted to roster Yarbrough, I would definitely dedicate like one of your pitching spots to always stream, at least until you find someone, or your, or as long as you're tracking that target that Yahoo provides you, or if you want to track it on your own, like I do, if you're kind of staying with that moving target, then go ahead and do it. Cause he's in a pitch, maybe like 3 to 5 anyway, when he pitches. So he's like a starter anyway, but it, you might slightly fall behind. You just got to make sure that you're keeping up with it.
Okay. That's the thing there. What other tools do you have to kind of make sure you're maximizing team production here, which in theory, if you maximize production, you should be in the contention towards the end of the season, one would think.
Right. Yeah. So that's all I really do out of the Yahoo platform, but Yahoo does. So, I mean, NFBC has this too, but it's a little different. Like Yahoo has graphs where you could show how your stats compare to the other teams in the league. So you could show over time, okay, maybe in May, I ended the month at first in runs, but now it's June, almost July, and I'm at 6, and you can see the trend line of your runs category going down. So they make it pretty easy to see how your team's trending in terms of with regards to other teams. I do something a little similar. So in basketball, so getting back to head-to-head categories, it could apply to baseball as well. So in my basketball leagues, they're head-to-head categories, but there's no like, it's not roto scoring. But what I do is, you can do this in baseball just as easily. It's just a different sport. I look at how, so I, after each week, I write down my matchup totals versus my opponents. But at least for my team, I go into the standings for year to date and I see what my roto position would be in my categories. So if you're playing a head-to-head categories league, you could do the same thing for baseball. Okay. So after week one, I was first in runs, but now it's week 7 and I'm down to 4th in runs. So maybe I have to be mindful of my team's runs total. And I would only do that in head-to-head categories because you're taking away that roto aspect of the scoring, but you want to, I think it's a good way to see if your team's unlucky or if it's actually bad. Cause you could be facing it like a head-to-head anything. You could have the best week of your life, but your opponent could just be a little bit better and you could still lose. And that's why I started doing this for basketball, and you could do it for head-to-head baseball as well. Like I said, it's just, if you want to do the work, but it helps keeps me grounded for basketball because like when I first started doing it, I'm like, I feel like my teams are better than they are, but I keep losing. So I wanted to see how my stats lined up with the rest of the league. It's not perfect because you could do the extra ads and maybe some teams aren't adding like you are. Like I try to stream a lot for basketball. But it's the same idea. Like just if you're in a head-to-head category league, maybe do that to see if you're actually 500 or maybe you should be 10 games over 500. It's also a possibility.
Smart move. Monitor your team success and also monitor it against others to make sure you're maximizing that success, because maybe you're just using innings and you don't not using them correctly, if that makes sense. There's definitely an avenue to that, because sometimes we just see, fill your roster, get all this, get all that. But if you're just getting, you know, smoked in this same category every time or this, that, and the other, maybe it's a different approach. And honestly, one of the ones early on, if you're not paying attention to K-9, that will be one of them. That will be the strikeouts, because there's so many good pitchers now that just don't strike out guys like other pitchers do. And have you seen that really elevate? Like Strider's probably obvious, but even like Kota Senga's, these guys that are, you know, Dylan Cease, as bad as he is, still over 200K. Like there's a handful of these guys that Aaron Nola still gets you 200, like these Ks. Do you see these guys getting elevated even more so in that kind of format?
Yeah, I think so. So I just pulled up the starting pitching rankings right now, what they consider the preseason rankings. And George Kirby's lower. He's behind Zach Gallen, Yamamoto, Fried, Nola, Scooble. And that it's probably because of the K rate is how Yahoo's seeing it. They have him more in line with Peralta. And he's going definitely a few spots higher in NFBC ADP. I don't look closely enough at the Yahoo like draft results to get a gauge on that, because I'm not as in tune with it as I am with NFBC now. But I'm sure people are looking at that type of thing. I'm sure that if they're playing in like the $100, $250 leagues, they're probably aware of that type of stuff.
Yeah, most definitely. Any final thoughts on Yahoo? I think we covered a lot of it, in the formats, the lineups, the stats, the daily, to you name it. We covered the gamut, it feels like. But is there anything else that stands out to you when it comes to Yahoo's fantasy sports that might be something worth noting for people that are either trying it out or playing it now that they might not have known about.
Yeah, so one thing we didn't talk about that I wasn't on the outline, but I remember looking at today is the price points. So you could do as low as $20 or you could do like $1,000. So it's one of the other $1,000 is high stake in my mind. It's
definitely
it's what the solo shot was going to be, which is considered high stakes. And so if you just want to get your foot wet with being competitive, do the $20 leagues. Like NFBC has the $50 leagues that like the NFBC 50 is the different satellites, but it's all about what you prefer. Like if I had to pick one leagues, if I had to do one league and I had to choose the Fab style, I would probably go with the Yahoo Fab over the NFBC Fab, because I think it's less stressful and there's more flexibility with it, but there's more benefits with NFBC. That's why I play a lot of my leagues there now. But Yahoo still has its benefits, like the player rankings. So you could sort by the last 14 days, last 30 days. You could see who's like the best available first baseman over that period on free agency. You can look at how your team's doing. So one thing I always found challenging with NFBC was trying to figure out how my team was doing, because you could see if you're dropping in the standings, but you can't really tell why. Like if you want to see how your players are doing. But with Yahoo, you could say, okay, all my hitters are outside the top 100 over the last week or 2 weeks. So, okay, that's why I'm dropping in the standings. And the rankings are they're not going to match up with Razzball or any of the other major websites that do a player evaluations, but it's going to be pretty close. Like you're going to get a good idea of how your players are doing. So I like that. And the matchup page is cool. A lot of Yahoo's benefits I think are with adding and dropping players. And they're allowed to have it set up the way they are, or the way they have it set up is because of the daily ads, I think. Yeah. And so I definitely reference the Yahoo stats to help me with identifying like starters. Like I can look at stuff on the Yahoo player pages. I think this year I'm going to sign up for RotoWire and do the two start for the starting grid, because I think it's about time I use that. Everyone talks about it and I want to try it out.
Pretty
but
nice. Nice.
Yeah. I've heard you mention it. Others mention it, but I've been surviving by using Yahoo for stuff, and it gets the job done. It's definitely not as much in the limelight that people joke about it sometimes, especially with the eligibility. Like I mentioned, Connor Falefa the one time when he was a catcher and he was playing third base. But I mean, it makes it a little more fun, and some people who aren't as serious prefer that. So it definitely has its place in fantasy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's fun to talk about a different format. Not sure we'll get to the other ones on this show, but Yahoo is, to me, is kind of the next best one after the NFBC. So I'm a big fan of what they've got cooking. Like I said, I think I'm pretty sure I still do one or two this year. I haven't got the invites yet, but I'm pretty sure we'll do my old school ones. I was looking, there's a bunch of leagues that you can get into, which is kind of cool to see, because even back in the day when I started on Yahoo, those were not available. That was not a thing to just have random pay for leagues on Yahoo, because probably got me in a lot of trouble in college. But that's pretty cool to see. Those are there to kind of get your feet wet in some very friendly price points with some pretty nice payouts. Like I pulled it up as well. Like if say you're in the $50 league, first place $300, second place $180, third place $70. Like pretty fair payouts all things considered, and a pretty good format to get things rocking and rolling for you. But I hope it all helped everybody. I'll say that much. Hope it was interesting. If you have any more questions, make sure you ask one of us. But final thoughts, Ben, before we head on out of here.
No, you said it all. Hopefully the listeners found this interesting. Hopefully it's more relevant to others than some of the other content may be. We don't usually dive into the NFBC like platform and how it's run, or how it works. But maybe you could even do that one day too for somebody else. Have one of the NFBC pros come on and talk about it. But I think we covered what the listeners were hoping to hear. And like Bubba said, just message me on Twitter or whatever, message Bubba, and we'll answer any questions.
Yep. And where you find Ben on Twitter is BreakingBen_T. He's got his work over at sportethos.com. They're doing baseball stuff over there, so have to check all that fun stuff out as well. You can find me on Twitter at BDIntric. But until next time, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 654. Catch y'all later.